two words or ideas that John Dawley had for this tone, did we? Which is consciousness and calculus of reality. And it is really saying all the way through that the one consciousness of truth is aware of this infinite calculus of reality, or the relationship of all these ideas that are basic to man, these qualities, I think one should say, that are basic to man, operating in this wonderful relationship of these ideas to one another, which you get so much here with this little verse from Isaiah, that the wolf shall lie down with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, etc. It's this marvelous relationship of spiritual ideas and the calculus of reality. Understanding the control which love held over all, Daniel felt safe in the lion's den, and Paul proved the viper to be harmless. That sentence I've had in my thoughts so much during these last few months, because I love it that it says, understanding the control which love held over all. It isn't just that love holds control over me and my doings, or people you're associated with. It is holding control over all. And in this wonderful sense of spirit, you seem to get this reflection throughout everywhere, that it can't confine anything. You know, I always think of the Church of Brotherly Love in the book of Revelation, and that had a spirit tone, and you seem to get it here, this calculus of spirit, where every idea blesses every other idea. Because when I think of Daniel feeling safe in the lion's den, he wasn't actually saving himself from fierce lions, but he was seeing that those lions were expressing qualities of spirit, of strength, for instance. And when Paul proved the viper to be harmless, he wasn't proving, now that viper has got a sting, but I'm safe from it. He proved the viper itself to be harmless. A wise idea, charming in its adroitness or whatever. And though we're taking these qualities and seeing that these qualities are the nature of man, these spiritual qualities, which all blend with each other and are positive and good and not negative, we can see them as the qualities of man, but in human experience, they're also the qualities of the animals and the creatures we see around us, aren't they? It applies to that as well, as many people have proved. But we are taking these qualities of animals as basic qualities of man, and qualities that are spiritual, because in every instance, Mrs. Eddy gives this wonderful sense of these qualities as purely spiritual and purely good. All of God's creatures moving in the harmony of science are harmless, useful, indestructible. A realization of this grand verity. Now that is the verity of understanding the control which love held over all. That is what is being referred to here. A realization of this grand verity was a source of strength to the ancient worthies. It supports Christian healing and enables its possessor to emulate the example of Jesus. And God saw that it was good. And that is so true that if you understand the control that love holds over all, it is a source of strength in healing and in everything, because you are not feeling that you have to plaster some spiritual fact onto somebody or onto yourself. The control that love holds over all, that all come under this blessing of love, which is spiritual, enables you to take every experience as a spiritual blessing and to see everything coming under that control of love. Never having a material situation which has to be plastered by good to work it out, but seeing this reflection happening everywhere. God saw that it was good. Marvelous, that example of Jesus, because every experience Jesus turned into a blessing, right up to the point of crucifixion, when he was crucified and allowed men to destroy the body. He said, "Let not the flesh but the spirit be represented in me." And he proved that spirit is absolutely indestructible. And he saw that it was the control which love held over all, that that experience which came to him was not a negative one. It was a blessing of love, because it proved the spiritual nature of man and the eternity of life. So if we understand, I think we do more and more understand the control that love holds over all. We're not fazed by negative happenings or something that doesn't appear to be the working out of God, because we are conscious that the spiritual is the only, and in this instance, that love is holding control over it. So whatever happens has the blessing of spirit and of love in it. Now, we've felt that, haven't we, all of us, all time and time and time again. Particularly these days, I feel it tremendously. Let, knowing that you're letting on the side of God and God alone, on the side of spirit and spirit alone. And these qualities of spirit are our strength. Then it goes on. Patience is symbolized by the tireless worm. I always feel that's a funny one, that tireless worm. Perhaps somebody knows more about worms than I do. Actually, I think when you cut a worm, it goes on, doesn't it? You know, you can never destroy it. It goes on. You're always talking about tireless worm. Michael was saying, "I love the tireless worm." Creeping over lofty summits. Persevering in its intent. Actually, I think there's a lot in that tireless worm, now I come to think about it, because there is a tremendous lot in enduring. Mrs. Eddy once said, "I have carried this movement because I have learnt to endure." And I think enduring is this wonderful quality that we had in that first tone, the continuity of thoughts, the realization that truth is always going on. And it isn't a matter of enduring, really. It's a matter of being at this split moment, isn't it? At this split second, being, just being. Because if you are just being at this moment, and at this moment, and at this moment, it looks as though you've endured, but all you've done is to be, really. And you remember the story of the man who was going across the desert and was terribly thirsty, and he kept on thinking, I'm all right now, I'm all right now, I'm all right now. And then he found he'd got across the desert. And I think that is, perhaps that's the tireless worm, persevering in its intent. The serpent of God's creating is neither poisonous, subtle, nor poisonous, but is a wise idea, charming in its adroitness. For love's ideas are subject to the mind which forms them. The power which changes the serpent into a staff. See, all those qualities are positive, aren't they, that she has given here? They're all positive qualities, and they're all spiritual qualities, and that is the nature of man, his fundamental nature. We saw in the first stone that all is mind, and everything is based on mind. And then in this second tone, it says, not only that it's mine, but that there are all these qualities which are purely spiritual. That man's nature is composed of these purely spiritual qualities. Now, if I just read to you a moment, the qualities that come out in that about page and a half there that we've read. And it's quite interesting because all these qualities come out there. Joyousness, strength, humility, holiness, moral courage, freedom, fearlessness, being undisturbed, diligence, promptness, perseverance, stern resolve, highest purpose, tenderness, might, harmlessness, selflessness, patience, tirelessness, wisdom, charm. It's interesting, isn't it? Because probably nowhere else has Mrs. Ely gathered together all the qualities, the spiritual qualities that constitute man. And one has a great sense about this, that these qualities are God qualities. They don't belong to us. They're God qualities. And you can see how we are gradually moving into the Christ in the next two tones, where everything is in God and of God, particularly stated. But here you can feel that all these qualities are God qualities. And if they are God qualities, then one can say that they're always good, that joy doesn't change into sorrow, or freedom become license or anything, because they are pure God qualities, which we reflect basically as man, and which all the animals reflect if we come into the human picture. And it's lovely that Mrs. Ely brings in that Isaiah verse of the wolf dwelling with the lamb and so on, because more and more I guess that will be demonstrated in human experience. Now, when we come to the negative tone here, in Truth of Spirit, which is on your papers here, if you like to look at them. And the Lord God said unto the woman, this is Genesis 3:13-16, or Science and Health 5:33. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Quite a different sense of the serpent that we had in the true record, isn't it? And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. In this first side, the Word, you know, we have here the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and Science. In the first opposite of the Word, you get the woman and the serpent dealt with, really. In the Christ part of the diagonal, the Christ in its own aspect, which we're going to do tomorrow, we get Adam dealt with. In the opposite of Christianity, we get Cain and Abel dealt with. And in the opposite of Science, we you mustn't kill Cain. You know, the mark was put on him, and you mustn't kill Cain. But you get a great deal to do with the woman sense here in the opposite of the Word. And it's interesting, really, because when Mrs. Eddy is speaking about this particular verse here, funnily enough, she doesn't quote that verse, does she? But nevertheless, she speaks about it, because on page 536, line 26, in the wrong record, she says, Truth, cross-questioning man as to his knowledge of error, finds woman the first to confess her fault. She says, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. As much as to say in meek penitence, Neither man nor God shall father my fault. She has already learned that corporeal sense is the serpent. Hence, she is first to abandon the belief in the material origin of man and to discern spiritual creation. This hereafter enabled woman to be the mother of Jesus and to behold at the sepulchre the risen Saviour, who was soon to manifest the deathless man of God's creating. This enabled woman to be first to interpret the scriptures in their true sense, which reveals the spiritual origin of man. So Mrs. Eddy is bringing out there, even in this wrong record, the true nature of woman. Because the wrong side of woman is a sense of false attraction, being falsely attracted to the material. And you remember when we had understanding and demonstration as man understanding and woman demonstration, we saw that the wrong sense of demonstration was looking on the outside, that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes and so on and so on. That's what attracted the woman. Looking on the outside. Yes. I was going to say I would have thought that was a man quality. But I think it's that sense of false womanhood. But here, there is the true womanhood even coming through in this wrong record, as we see very often. There are flashes of light. And she says, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And she, the true womanhood sense, sees the nature of evil as impersonal and as always tying one down to a material sense of creation. She wouldn't let God or man father her fault. And neither do we. We don't take evil back to God, and we don't take it back to ourselves. We take it back to animal magnetism, to the one liar. Because only the spiritual man is true. Man is on this spiritual basis of idea of mind, reflecting the qualities of spirit, and nothing else is true about him, which will lead us so naturally into the next tone tomorrow. But it is a wonderful thing that Mrs. Eddy is saying here about woman, because womanhood in all of us, whether we are classified humanly as male or female, sees only the spiritual, discerns the spiritual. And she says here that this quality of seeing neither God nor man shall father my fault, and that corporeal sense is the serpent, a corporeal, material view of creation. A material view of creation is what makes all the trouble. So she says that woman was the first to believe in the to abandon the belief in the material origin of man and to discern spiritual creation. And so woman could become the mother of Jesus, because she saw through the belief of material creator and material creation. And she was first at the sepulchre to see the risen Savior, because she knew that matter could not hold spirit in its grasp, that spirit would enable Jesus to rise, and who was soon to manifest the deathless man of God's creating. This enabled woman to be first to interpret the scriptures in their true sense, which reveals the spiritual origin of man. And so that woman quality enabled Mrs. Eddy to see through the literal interpretation of the Bible, which, as she said, has no more power than moonbeams to melt a river of ice, that a material understanding or an attempted material interpretation of the Bible is not that which gives the truth of being, the spiritual truth of being. And so Mrs. Eddy interpreted the scriptures spiritually. And that's what we have been doing, seeing the spiritual record of creation and the spiritual line which goes through the Bible. Now, it's interesting that at this point in the exegesis of the wrong record, further down on 534, the last paragraph, 24, it says, there will be greater mental opposition to the spiritual, scientific meaning of the scriptures than there has ever been since the Christian era began. The serpent, material sense, will bite the heel of the woman, will struggle to destroy the spiritual idea of love. And the woman, this idea, will bruise the head of lust. It's interesting that the woman bruises the head of lust, because it would seem that a sense of false interpretation is a false intellectual sense, a material intellectual sense, and it is woman who sees the spiritual sense of the scriptures and the spiritual sense of every situation. It's a quality of womanhood that will pierce right through and see the spiritual import. And that quality of womanhood is in what we would call males and females alike, because Jesus had a wonderful quality of womanhood. And we know full well that it's nothing to do with, as Michael would say, skirts or trousers. It's nothing to do with that. It's the spiritual sense that is willing to see the spiritual and not count the cost. It says the spiritual idea has given the understanding a foothold in Christian science. The seed of truth and the seed of error, of belief and of understanding, yea, the seed of spirit and the seed of matter, are the wheat and tares, which time will separate, the one to be burned, the other to be garnered into heavenly places. And so Mrs. Eddy is saying in that exegesis that it is the spirit, the spiritual sense of being, that is substantial and real. That consciousness that constitutes the calculus of reality that we have here. And what we have put here in science and health, in the actual thousand-year period column, which is Christianity, is spirit, is the real and eternal. That is what it is saying here in its many different ways, that the qualities that are basic to man are spiritual, that spirit is the real and eternal. And those two tones of truth as mind and truth as spirit are the basic qualities, fundamental to man's being. They constitute the word, the life of his being, which comes in these two tones here. Now, one thing that I love just to point out at this stage, when we have been doing the days of creation up to the fifth day, as I said before, we have had in the first column the synonymous terms, haven't we, in the science column. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And we have taken the whole story through the four: science, the Word, Christ, and Christianity. Which is the same pattern that we are now getting in this sixth day of creation, the sevenfold operating through the four. So we have really come to the point which really triggered off the whole of our Bible story. I always felt we were doing it from the standpoint of truth and love, But when I started the story, I hadn't seen that. It just instinctively came to me to put the synonyms down at the beginning as the science. But as I went on, I kept on getting this feeling, we are taking the Bible from the standpoint of truth and love, really from the sixth and seventh days of creation. We are not taking it so much in a working up time sense, but from the standpoint of science, from truth and love. And so when we come to this day, the sixth day, you might say, really, the first has become last, and the last has become first. We've sort of joined up. Do you see what I mean? And that the science which impelled our whole story has now come full circle, and we're moving in it, in this science. And this science column here has been moving the, yes, I know what I was going to say. Therefore, when you come to think of it, what we saw in that tone of truth as mind, where we are saying all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, was really the very tone that lay behind that first 1,000-year period when we hear the let there be light and we come out of the Garden of Eden, out of a limited type of thinking, and we take of the tree of life and we listen to mind saying let there be light and we come out. But what is talking is really this, isn't it? All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. And when we were taking the second 1,000 years in the day of spirit, which was the building of the ark, Noah and the ark, really what impelled that was this spirit is the real and eternal. And interestingly enough, in that story of Noah and the ark, he had to take all the animals into the ark, didn't he? He took all the animals into the ark. And we always saw that as taking all the qualities of God and seeing that they are spiritual and not material. And because the ark is the understanding of spirit destroying belief in matter. And we saw that in the building of the ark and the building of an understanding, we begin to see that all the qualities that we have perhaps thought of materially are really purely spiritual. And as we take them into the ark, we see these kind of qualities of patience, perseverance, and so on, as having their origin in God, in the spiritual. So you can see, really, how this is all one story, isn't it? And the Bible and science and health sort of meet at this point in a wonderful development of life, truth, and love. So I think we'll stop at this point because it's 10 to 1. And we've covered these first two tones, not fully, but we've got a feeling of them, haven't we? Mm-hmm. I think. Well, thank you very much.
These are two brief notes made after this talk. Firstly, when I was giving a list of the qualities mentioned in Mary Baker Eddy's exegesis of this tone of truth as spirit, I mentioned selflessness when it should have been usefulness. And also adroitness should be added to this list. And then secondly, because I refer to an evening meeting in tomorrow's talk, I perhaps should mention that on this Monday evening, I gave a short explanation of the matrix, which unfolded to John Dawley, and which is elucidated on pages 52 to 64 of the maroon edition of his book, The Pure Science of Christian Science. Also, a short explanation of the matrix structure of the textbook chapters, the structure which is elucidated in Max Kappeler's book, The Structure of the Christian Science Textbook, Our Way of Life. These were both informal talks and were not recorded.